2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you're getting access to a Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course, a Slack chat channel where you could chat with me, Bear, Keith, and the rest of the gang. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. And to add on to it, got to say too, MLB is starting tomorrow, folks, so you certainly want to be involved with us for that. Again, same deal for you. Promo code PODCAST there for 10% off each month of your subscription if you want to sign up with us now. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter, 14A.Walsh. Find Shy Moshe there, Mr. Bear here. So, with this maybe being the last NBA slate that people might play for a while, since MLB is coming up about 24 hours from now. So we got to send the people off on a good note there, if that's how they're thinking.
I mean, there's enough value today for that. I mean, I kind of feel like that Oprah Winfrey meme. You get a value play. You get a value play. You get a value play. I mean, every team has. I mean, I got three minimum price guys that I'm going to play. I mean,
yeah.
It's going to get pretty crazy here, so today's actually pretty cool.
You know, what's funny, Oprah, not only is Oprah a meme, but she's a real person that gives away cars and boats and dreams indeed. And things of that nature.
Indeed.
Oh, that damn Oprah, so rich. So last night was pretty interesting, too, where I know both you and I were pretty fond of Kevin Love, LaMarcus Aldridge, that being a combo. Things just certainly did not work out if that was the way that you went. Kevin Love getting his friggin' front tooth knocked out in that one. Took a vicious elbow there from your boy, the Irishman, Jordan Mickey. But, it's crazy. I was describing it because somebody didn't see it last night, and they were describing it, what happened, and I was like, oh, well, Jordan Mickey was driving to the hoop, and Kevin Love's face got in the way.
It sure did.
So, yeah, so that knocked him out there. I believe this is questionable for today's game, right?
Love?
Yeah.
He is questionable. I don't think he's playing.
All right. They did check him out for a concussion last night. No, this wasn't a because, hockey players, they're missing limbs all the time, and they go back out on the ice, so I know Kevin Love called a little bit of flack. Listen, man, it was a pretty hard bump right there to the face. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Other situations that we got to look into today before we break down positionally.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you got there? I didn't have the window pulled up. My bad.
Yeah. So very recent news actually. Al Horford is listed questionable, and then Marcus Morris is out.
Gotcha.
So Boston even thinner.
All right. See, old friend Justin Anderson from the Sixers ruled out here, so whatever. He wasn't playing much
to begin with.
But actually, it's funny because I do like somebody in that Sixers backup or in that second unit that they got there today, but we will certainly get into that. It does help the guy that I like. And then, just looking down the list, Dirk Nowitzki, listed as questionable against the Lakers tonight. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, listed as questionable with an illness. That could be a nice little boost to LeBron, who already has a good history against the Hornets. So that would be there. Kyle Korver, listed as out. I believe his brother died, so he's still dealing with the family issues there. Derrick Rose, listed out for the Minnesota Timberwolves today. Not a huge deal. Damian Dotson, Courtney Lee, listed as questionable for the Knicks. And then in their situation, too, with the Knicks, Emmanuel Mudiay will play, but Kyle O'Quinn will not. So that definitely affects some guys here as well. And then for the Clippers, don't forget they're on the back end of a back-to-back. On Serbian night, of all nights, Milos Teodosic gets hurt. Jeez. And he actually got off to a fantastic start. Apparently, Milos learned how to shoot again.
Oh, my God. He was on fire.
Fire! But he will be out tonight. I don't think we got the official word, but this is doubtful. He didn't look too good after hurting himself last night anyway, so he should be out. And then for Dallas, you've got Nerlens Noel, Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, all probable for tonight. So those are all the injury situations that we know up to this point before we begin the podcast. So I'm ready to dig in. You?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. Pod is now. All right, so at the point guard position today, typically we begin with the higher-priced options, but today, much different situation. Damian Lillard already ruled out for tonight's game. Somehow that didn't come up in the in the injury news that I was just breaking down, but he is out for tonight. So we have seen the situation. Shabazz Napier here in this situation without Damian Lillard. So, as I mentioned, we've seen it seven times, and he's had six games of at least 29 fantasy points. But let's go to the higher end of the spectrum. Four of his top five fantasy productions this season have come with Damian Lillard out of the lineup. What's funny is one of those in that stretch is like right after Lillard immediately came back, Shabazz was still on that heater. But, bad news for the Blazers tonight. This is back end of a back-to-back for them. They're playing the third game in 4 days, and they're playing the fourth game in 6 days. However, the good news is pretty good. They are facing Memphis.
That's always going to be helpful.
Yes.
So that's the first bit of good news. The second bit of good news is he only played 17 minutes last night.
Oh, that's great.
And then 11 minutes the game before, which is on the 25th. So he's rested. He's young, he's hungry, he's ready to go. Definitely not worried about any fatigue for Napier. He's minimum priced. I don't know, playing Memphis, who is garbage, I mean, to put it politely, they're the worst, when you're playing Napier, the best, defensive matchup point guard wise on the slate, if not in the NBA. Phoenix might be close, but they're not. So, there's no way you cannot play Napier. I believe in any format that you play today.
Yeah, it's interesting. Somebody asked me the question earlier this morning, and I think we've kind of, made our stances known within the DFS, how we go about things, but, typically you want to fade an ownership that's usually going to be so high. This is one of the chances where you don't. We call this good chalk.
Good chalk, yeah.
Tonight. So, yeah, again, everything that you mentioned there about Napier, I think, especially minimum price on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's actually $3,800, which isn't the minimum, but let's not get technical here. That's still a damn good price for the guy.
That's for the ability to get 10x pretty relatively easily, I would say that's min. So, yeah.
Strong odds. We're going to go into this one. All right, so Napier, the cheapest, but a guy who we've seen be one of the cheaper options, really do some damage here over the last couple games. Trey Burke of the New York Knicks, $5,800 on DraftKings, $6,300 on FanDuel. He actually just faced the Sixers 2 weeks ago, and he only played 25 minutes in that game, but he does score 16 points, get 3 assists, 2 rebounds, had 1 turnover. Certainly going to play more than 25 minutes tonight. I don't think anybody cares that Emmanuel Mudiay is back. I saw, maybe that's a point of, I don't know if I want to go to Trey Burke. Listen, I think going forward, the Knicks know what they're trying to do here. They're trying to prep Burke for the future. Mudiay, thanks for coming, but, I think we'll be fine without you. Look, this is not a great matchup against Philly, but I think the Knicks are doing everything in their power right now to get Burke these full reps before the season ends so that they can make a better decision going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I think at the prices you mentioned, given the matchup, given
me take a look at what this looks like here.
Given that the Sixers are favored by 12.5, but there are a lot of points that are going to be scored here. So I don't hate it, but at 6,300 on FanDuel, I don't exactly love it either. Mm-hmm. Just considering that he's going to have a lot of Ben Simmons and his length on him, and that's doesn't typically bode well for shooting point guards, and he's definitely a shooting point guard.
Yeah, I thought what was pretty interesting in that game against Denver, I think everybody kind of ripped on Barton for kind of fading away down the stretch, but you definitely got to give some credit to the other team in that sense. You know, a team like Philly, they're just a fantastic matchup on defense pretty much everywhere. You know, there was a point in time this season where, we could maybe go and pick on a guy like J.J. Redick. There was a time that Robert Covington was struggling for a while, but everything seems to be coming full circle for the Sixers right now. They're playing some really solid basketball. Do you know, they have not lost, I got to check the exact stat on this, but they talked about it in the last Sixers game, but they haven't lost a home game, and I think it's like 90-something days.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that is certainly a wow factor. I went back and I looked at the numbers, though, seeing how individuals did against the Sixers. One common name popped up from the guard position. Like, most of the damage done against the Sixers have been guys like, you know, LeBron, maybe a guy like Giannis, some of these bigger, more agile guys. But one guy that kept popping up was Kemba Walker, who had a couple, like, now, in his defense, he got to play the Sixers like three times after the All-Star break. But he did have two good games against them. And, you know, when I'm looking at Trey Burke over these last couple of games, that's kind of a somewhat notable comparison, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. That's not bad.
So, yeah, I guess in conclusion, all in all, I agree with you where you say that it's feasible, but I don't think that this is a spot that I need to go to tonight.
Because I think a lot of people are going to look at what he just did and they're going to run after him. You look at the exact same price in an even better matchup at DJ Augustine versus Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Burke does struggle versus the length of the Sixers, and Augustine shouldn't struggle too much against D'Angelo, he's a good offensive guy, but D'Angelo doesn't play much defense.
Very true.
Then you're ahead of the field. Same price.
Yep, indeed. All right, so another thing we didn't even mention on the injuries. It's been known for a day, though, but Dennis Schroeder is going to be out for the Hawks. So that leaves Isaiah Taylor, Tyler Dorsey as two pretty nice, cheap options there. I mean, hell, if you want to pair one of these guys with Shabazz Napier, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. Especially, I'm going to look ahead a little bit to the shooting guard position. I don't know, man. It seems like going safer there over, the last month or so seems like the way to go. So I don't know. Like, if you do a move like that, you can certainly pay up for the top two shooting guards on the slate and feel good about, you know, your production from that area. I don't know. Is that something that you've looked at doing early on today?
I mean, yeah, I always do, right? I think you and I both have been fond of taking the cheap-ish point guard approach.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think when you look at, I mean, obviously, everything's going to be slate-dependent. We both know that, right? But for the most part, when you look at what the more successful in terms of scores, lineups have been night in and night out, it's typically with the medium, middle-tiered point guards, and then the rest is pretty evenly spread out.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people want to, like, for example, and this doesn't directly pertain to your question, but a lot of people try to jam in Harden and AD and LeBron and then put a bunch of crap around them. And more times than not, it doesn't work out for you. So, I'm with you. Anybody else here you're eyeing? Because I got a couple guys.
Sure. I don't know. Like, I'm really, all the point guards that we mentioned so far, Burke, Napier, Taylor, Dorsey, those guys, I think it's very – very appealing to go that way because, spoiler alert, I do want to pay up for LeBron tonight. So, that's certainly a way that I'm looking. A couple of guys that I noticed, if we're, leaving the min-priced options, Jeff Teague and Lonzo Ball caught my eye today.
Well, you know, Jeff Teague's got a little revenge narrative there.
Indeed.
That's going to be pretty popular. And that game's supposed to be a barn burner from what I I'm reading here.
For Minnesota ATL?
Yeah, 220 and a half. I mean, it's not the highest, but it's pretty high for those two teams.
No, definitely. And you know what's interesting, too? And I think this actually works out for a lot of the T-Wolves tonight. Number one, they're facing Atlanta. Fantastic matchup. But remember what happened to Minnesota in their last game? They lost at home to Minnesota. You know, damn well Tibbs was not happy about that. So expect a very, very focused Timberwolves team tonight.
Memphis, yeah, they lost to Memphis.
What did I say?
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, well, that's that intra-squad game got crazy, man. They ended up losing.
Hey, man, practice games are rough.
it was an M team, yeah.
Yeah, no, they should come out strong. I mean, but so in that exact same game, there is another guy that we didn't talk about at the point guard spot, which we're going to have to, which I'm probably going to be pairing up with Napier, and that's Isaiah Taylor.
All right.
So Taylor has been playing over 30 minutes pretty much every game. He's pretty much taken over as the starting point guard since Schroeder is partaking in the tanking festivities. And so you got a guy who's $3,600 on FanDuel, again, minimum price. You have Napier and Taylor at your point guards. You do whatever you want everywhere else. I mean, and those are two guys that are going to play over 30 minutes versus, you know, opposing point guards that don't defend very well in Jeff Teague and then Andrew Harrison. So Taylor and Shabazz Napier for me are probably going to be locks in cash because I can just do so much more. But yeah, Lonzo stuck out for me because we know Dennis Smith Jr. doesn't play defense. Jeff Teague, like you mentioned, definitely stands out for me. Kemba Walker versus Cleveland always steps out for me. Here's an interesting thing about that game, Cleveland versus Charlotte.
Okay.
The odds are even. Oh, it just changed. Cleveland's now favored by one. But before we got on the pod, I looked, and it was even. It was an even spread.
All right.
Now Cleveland's favored by one, and that's the highest total on the slate at 226.
Nice.
And it's a 1-point game, so Kemba is definitely intriguing.
Yeah, he certainly in the game against Cleveland, gonna catch Cleveland on the back end of a back to back. They did not score a lot of points last night, and the ones that they did, they had to work for every single ball that went through that hoop. Even free throws they had to work for. Miami's defense was unbelievable last night. Not one shot. Well, I'm sure there were a couple,
Yeah, there was maybe a couple of layups and breakaway things. But I'll tell you, I just want to kind of toot our own horn here. Every single one of your coaches at DFS Army yesterday was saying, do not play LeBron. Don't buy into the narrative. Miami is going to throw every which defender at him, which they did. Jay Rich, James Johnson, Justice Winslow. They threw everyone they have at him, and sure enough, he kind of pooped compared to his price.
Yeah.
But I did make one mistake. I did say not to play Dwayne Wade. I didn't think Dwayne Wade would get enough minutes, and he did.
Well, four blocks. I mean, where the hell did that come from?
That's really where the numbers came
from. The one that he had when LeBron was fading away and he caught him from behind. Oh, man, that one was ridiculous.
And you know what? That was so clean. Yet he was complaining after that he got fouled. I'm like, dude, nobody touched you.
I know. That was like all ball and the black seams on there as well. Like he got it all.
Exactly. Oh,
that was nice. Yeah, and that what made that a lot more impressive too, they're missing Miami missing their two best rim protectors there with Whiteside and Adebayo. So, just a fantastic effort by them yesterday.
It was a good game.
Very good. But Cavs better be careful that that's not their first round matchup because that could get ugly. That could get ugly real quick.
You know what? The whole state of Florida will jump in and enjoy.
They own them. All right. I get the last guy I wanted to mention, Austin Rivers. He is taking on the Phoenix Suns tonight. It doesn't make sense to pay up this much money when you got great value there with Napier, Taylor, Burke. However, taking on the Suns has usually yielded pretty damn good results. No Milos Teodosic, so You know, the thing with God, Rivers could not hit the friggin' parking lot last night. Like, he, well, until later, he did pretty well. But early on in that game, his shot struggled. So, you know, you hope that that finish that he had carries over to tonight.
Well, so I don't know if you caught the, because that game was on TNT. God awful players only. God, it's really bad. Nate Robinson needs to take a freaking class.
They gotta have better players out there than one than Nate Robinson, and then Caron Butler is the absolute worst with the interviews.
He's monotone.
He's terrible. D-Wade did tell him that he smelled good yesterday, though, so there's that.
We got that. Isaiah Thomas to undergo hip surgery.
Uh-oh, that ain't good.
Well, I mean, the season's over, so it's fine. Yeah. But so in the interview yesterday, and by the way, the thing about Nate Robinson that really irked me the most was he's got his headset on. They're live. They're broadcasting live. And there's somebody in I don't know who, because the camera wasn't on him. He's like, hey, what's up, man? Do you know you're live and your microphone's in your mouth?
Totally unprofessional. Totally.
What are you doing? And one of the other guys was like in the middle of talking. And you can hear him pause, look at him like, dude, what are you doing?
You know what's funny? I didn't hear that last night, but it's funny that you say that, because I know that because Kevin Hart one time walked by and he did that.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
No professionalism. No professionalism. All right, any other point guards we're leaving out here?
So about Austin Rivers, he said that when Milos went down, Patrick Beverly, who was there on the sidelines being loud as he always is, and Sam Cassell went to him and said, we demand more from you. We're like, we've got Milos down now. You're the point guard now. They're swarming Lou Williams, which I don't know if you saw or not, but the Bucks didn't let Lou move.
Nah.
They threw Bledsoe at him, and then when he got by Bledsoe, they made sure to have someone double team and get on him. I mean, it was really, really crazy. And they were like, you know, Austin, it's you. And that's why Milos was getting off to a hot start, because in the beginning they were like, you know what, I'm only going to go to stop Lou. If anybody else wants to kill us, cool, let them kill us. But it's not going to be Lou Williams. And so he got – now there's no Milos. You might see a 30, 35-minute game from Austin Rivers versus Phoenix, who's not very good on the defensive end. I don't mind Austin. I actually might even like Rivers over Trey Burke in this matchup.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's not exactly the most sexy matchup, because today we have the top two defensive efficiency – team, well, I don't know. All right, how about the two most efficient defenses in the NBA? Boom. You've got the Celtics going up against the Jazz, but this point guard matchup is kind of fun. Terry Rozier against Ricky Rubio. Now, both 7,300 on FanDuel. I'm sure it's not prettier on DraftKings, but, you know, I like using both of these guys in a fantasy sense, but against each other today with cheaper options.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to do it.
I don't. So, defensively, Boston is good when they're fully, you know, healthy.
Yep.
They've definitely fallen a lot in that category, but not at the point guard spot. Rozier is lengthy. He's athletic. He's a phenomenal defender. Not that stopped Rubio before, but there's another guard in this game that I'm going after, and it's not Ricky.
Is it Rozier?
It's not Rozier.
It's not Rozier. One thing I want to ask you now. So, Morris out. We know that Horford questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Got to take a look at the numbers, though. But I don't know. Any interest there in Rozier? I don't know why I keep trying to force Rozier. But...
Well, because he had a career-high game recently, and people get excited. I get it. And it's one of those where he's the kind of guard that, in a slow-paced game, it doesn't bother me. Like some other players,
mm-hmm.
like if Kemba was playing Utah, like fade, no thank you. But Rozier, it doesn't bother me. He's very good in the half court. And like I say, he's a very good defender. So in the half court, plenty of deflections and steals and that kind of stuff. So
yep.
I definitely don't mind Rozier, but I just think you have a lot of really, really good value for less expensive here. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I hate to keep bringing him up, But I'd rather play Augustine than Rozier because of the matchup, and he's $1,000 cheaper.
Very true, very true. All right, last guy before we move on to shooting guards. And it's only because I heard or I saw people asking in the Slack chat channel, but Markel Fultz made his return in that last game. Just, you know, decided that he was going to take every single shot while he was out on the floor. Really did not care about what anybody else was doing. It was the Markel Fultz show. But in fairness to him, the crowd was going absolutely bananas, chanting his name. Like, he had no choice but to hoist up, like, 10 shots. Do you think we see that kind of excitement once again? I mean, this is a game against the Knicks where it could turn ugly. And they could give him, you know, whatever. Could give him his usual run here, what it looks like at 14 minutes prior to the playoffs, where he can go and, you know, dick around and take how many ever shots he wants. 3,800 on DraftKings is more appealing, but 4,500 on FanDuel, not so much.
Yeah, far from so much. So you mean that was Markel Fultz? That wasn't, like, Nick Foles?
No, it was, and it was not Allen Iverson reincarnated, as some people even were crazy enough to mention. But
I mean, did you see the reception? Oh my lord! It was pretty crazy. I thought they were introducing, like, the, you know, the next president of the United States or something. I don't know.
Wow. You think he'd get that kind of reception in Philly? The next, not the current.
Okay. The next, yeah, because people will be happy that another one's coming in, I think, in Philly. So, yeah, very similar introductions there. But, I mean, I think it's going to wear off the novelty, probably. This game is not – it's probably not going to be very close. I think New York will really struggle to score against these guys, against their length and their quickness and their athleticism. So you might get some garbage time minutes from Fultz, but at 4,500, I'm going for Isaiah Taylor.
It's
kind of a no-brainer.
Somebody who will play more than 14 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Okie dokes. All right, let's go to the shooting guard position. I'm going to lead it off with Lou Williams. He is taking on the Phoenix Suns, 8,200 on DraftKings, 7,800 on FanDuel. Now, Lou, at least 30 fantasy points, both sites, in 8 of his last 10 games against the Suns. Now, this is even dating back to his days with the Lakers. 4 of those went for 40-plus in that span of 10. And the last game against Phoenix, which is actually on February 23rd, he went for 45.3 on DraftKings, 41.6 on FanDuel in 33 minutes. So, you brought up a very interesting point that, you know, Milwaukee absolutely sardine canned Lou last night, and he wasn't able to do much. You know, a shooter like Lou, he's like, he got to get his production from last night in tonight on top of tonight's production. So, I'm expecting a nice game here against the Suns in a game. And look, let's be honest, the Clippers, they need them all to make it to the playoffs.
They absolutely need every single game they can get. And I think a lot of people will look at that and say, blowout, right? And might shy away from playing Lou Williams. The Clippers haven't blown out very many teams. They have a few, but they're not. This is going to sound very biased, but they're not good enough to blow out teams.
Yeah, you're just saying that because they're your hated rival.
They're not, right? I don't care either way, but they're not. And if you look at the last handful of games, it's all been relatively close, even against teams that it shouldn't be relatively close to. For me, it's one of those things where also because I'm a shooter myself. And when you are playing a team that doesn't let you get your shot off, that next time you're out there and the competition is not very good, you're unleashing. I mean, full throttle. So versus, you know, he'll probably end up going up against either Josh Jackson or Troy Daniels. I mean, let it rip.
It's all good. It's all good. I can't. All right. looking at the rest of the shooting guards, you've got some decisions to make. Mm-hmm. So you've got all the similar I'm going to stretch similar to make it fit my narrative here, but Donovan Mitchell, CJ McCollum, Andrew Wiggins, all in a relatively same price neighborhood. Of those three, anyone really stick out to you?
I mean, CJ is going to stick out because he's got no Dame with him, so sure. He's always going to stick out. And he's playing Memphis, who's atrocious. So, Donovan Mitchell is the next one that sticks out to me because, you know, Boston is the only spot that Boston now that they're kind of broken in terms of health, defends well is the point guard. Everything else is bad. The worst is the shooting guard. So Donovan Mitchell should be able to really unleash. I look at D'Angelo Russell. He's playing Orlando, which is a pretty decent tempoed game, which they're the worst. Excuse me. On the season, the shooting guard is one of the worst spots that they've defended. You know, even though he's the point guard, but they haven't listed a shooting guard. So D'Angelo Russell is very, very intriguing. You've got Andrew Wiggins going up against the Hawks, who don't have any of their defenders. He'll probably be, you know, guarded by a Tyler Dorsey or someone. So Wiggins should be able to take full advantage. You've got Nicholas Batum, who's 6,500 on FanDuel, going up against the Cavaliers in what's a fast-paced, evenly matched game. KCP against Dallas. I mean, there are so many freaking options here. This is going to be, in my opinion, the most difficult spot is the shooting guard.
Yeah, I agree. With Donovan Mitchell there, I really liked him going up against the Celtics. Still, you know, fighting tooth and nail there with Ben Simmons for that Rookie of the Year. By the way, I might even just give it to Donovan Mitchell based on Simmons' three-point and free throw percentage. Now, I know he doesn't even have a three-point percentage because he hasn't made any. But, you know, free throws, things of that nature. I think you could argue that this could go to Donovan Mitchell. Now, granted, at the end of the day, Simmons is probably going to get it because of the Sixers' success. But, you know, regardless, whatever about that. But, yeah, I like Donovan Mitchell tonight. You know, kind of a watered-down version of the Celtics roster that we could see tonight. So maybe not as good of a defense. You know, you mentioned all these other guys. Andrew Wiggins has actually been playing pretty well of late. In the two games before last, you know, we always look at Wiggins as a mainly of a scoring threat. Actually, last three games, he's had at least 7 rebounds, and you could see what that's done to his fantasy point totals. It's like comfortably put him there above the 30 in most of these games. Three of the last four games, he's got at least 34 fantasy points, so that's there. Again, probably going to see that Wolves team be very focused. And you know what's interesting, too, as Wiggins' production has come up, the Elites has gone down. So interesting to note that with those guys there. We know Caldwell Pope is going to play a ridiculous amount of minutes. I saw Ingram's questionable. Is there any chance that he plays tonight? Or is that a friendly questionable?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not. If they upgraded him, it's for a reason. But even if he does play, it's minimal. So.
All right.
Yeah, they're not going to rush him back.
All right. I had a couple low-priced options that I thought would be interesting today. Ty Wallace and Darius Thornwell, both of the Clippers. I think those guys could be hella valuable. Ty Wallace, bare minimum, $3,000 on DraftKings. So that one might work out really well.
Did you say bare minimum?
Bare minimum, $3,000. Bone dry minimum. Don't mind a couple of these guys either. Just going to spout them off. But Troy Daniels, who you mentioned, against the Clippers. Yep. Nice spot there. Jamal Crawford against Atlanta. I mean, you know, their first guy can't play defense. What do you think the second one can do?
And don't forget, he spent a lot of years in Atlanta.
Yes, very true. Very true. Damian Lee was kind of interesting with the injury to Schroeder. I figure we'll see him get minutes now. I think the minutes have been pretty consistent for him. It's the production that You know, we don't really know where the hell it's going to be. But, you know, low end, you look at that guy like a 13-point player. Upper end, he's not too far off a 30-point player. So, you know, he's only 37,000 – or, I'm sorry, 3,700 on FanDuel. And then the other guy I thought was pretty interesting, Marco Bellinelli. He's posted 5X value in five straight games. Did see a little decrease in minutes last game because of Markelle Fultz. But I think we mentioned earlier when we were going through the injuries, Justin Anderson's injury opens up some time, opens up plenty of time for Bellinelli there at the three for the Sixers. So, again, you know, Philly could very well beat the Knicks right over the head. So that could mean, you know, like mid-20s minutes for Bellinelli.
Yeah, versus New York, I don't hate it at all. You know, 3,900, like you said, is pretty cheap. Yeah, I definitely don't hate it. Have we talked about Redick at all?
We didn't. We could.
You know what Redick has done versus the Knicks?
I don't.
Well, I mean, and it's not even just Redick, frankly. It's
everyone. I mean,
it's everyone. And it's also, you know, the shooting guard in general. But... yeah, I mean, Redick is a guy that I like to play only in tournaments because of how hot he can get. I'm just going to look up some recent history here. Whoops.
JJ!
Yeah, so Redick. I don't know who this Redick is. They gave me the wrong Redick.
I got it.
Yeah, so let's see. They just played a couple weeks ago. He put up 26. Yeah, it's not the greatest. But there was one game in December where he put up a 38.
But Christmas went bananas.
Yeah, he did. I remember that game. That was pretty good. So, yeah, he's okay. Not as good as I thought he would be. But at under 5K, a guy that can really go off, you know, given the – they'll start giving the ball.
Prior to last game, he had only played he played no more than 17 minutes in the three games prior to last. But I did mention that when we did the podcast that, you know, the Sixers had like three straight blowouts, you know, probably trying to get Redick some rest down the stretch. You know, those were the games that it seemed like it did it. So I don't think that, you know, that dip in minutes right there was an indication of Redick going forward. I just think that was a good opportunity for them to rest them. I expect 27, something like that going forward.
Sure. Makes sense.
All right. Also, I had them at the bottom of my notes, but when using the Nets shooting guards today, D'Angelo Russell and Caris LeVert might want to do so on DraftKings. 6,300 for D'Angelo Russell on DraftKings as opposed to the 7,200 on FanDuel. And then Caris LeVert's at 5,100 as opposed to 5,700 on FanDuel. Or 5,100 on DK as opposed to the 57. All right. Sounds good. All right. Small forwards, yeah?
Yeah.
Giddy up. All right. LeBron James, he's the head honcho on the slate. So, yes, did say to fade him last night, removing the fade tag tonight. I'm going to have LeBron everywhere. Reason being, he is averaging bear. 62.3 on DraftKings, 61 on FanDuel in his last seven games against the Hornets. Go check out the game log on Stat News on LeBron against the Hornets. It's Zoftic, folks. Zoftic.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and I believe Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is also questionable on top of that. So, yep. And he's probably one of their better defenders. Obviously, Batum is their best defender, but. I'm on the train. I don't see how I don't play him in every set. Again, this is before we got on the pod here. It was even. So now it's still 1 point. So that means we should get 35 plus minutes from LeBron James in a close matchup. I mean, yeah, I'm hard to fade the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, again, if Kevin Love is going to be out, that's certainly – remember, when Love was out, we were getting LeBron James in the 13,000s on FanDuel.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a really good price to get him. Again, we've seen small forwards kind of crush this Hornets team. So, yeah, I'm not too worried here. The only way I wouldn't use LeBron is because we've got some good lower price options at the position. Now, probably going to use LeBron, but I could certainly be thwarted by some of these other guys. Torian Prince without Dennis Schroeder tonight. That's a damn good spot. That's a spot that he's put up about is capable of putting up 50 points in.
It's amazing. I think that's a hell of a spot, man. I was looking at him pretty closely yesterday or last night. Also, I mean, that particular spot for Minnesota, I talked about it with Keith the other day when the pod didn't record, unfortunately. But it was essentially that Bielitsa starts there. His minutes have been dropping. And a lot of that is because as tall as he is, so you think, oh, he's pretty tall, but his lateral quickness lacks at the NBA level to defend. So Torian Prince should be able to really, you know, have a field day there, and they'll end up going small with Jamal Crawford. This is going to sound nuts, but I don't think Minnesota has anybody to slow down Torian.
Yeah.
He's in a really good spot. I agree.
Yeah, I dig that. And I don't have the numbers on hand, but, they've been pretty damn good without Schroeder in the lineup. That is for sure. The one misnomer there, I guess without Schroeder in the lineup, was that game against Sacramento. But if you remember, the Hawks just pulled their guys second half because they wanted to be well rested going into Golden State the next night. So I wouldn't look too bad on that one. Then he had a bad game against Utah. So whatever, like everybody does. Okay, let's see here. Oh, also Josh Jackson on the slate too. Booker, Warren, doubtful tonight. Going to be the Josh Jackson show once again. Going up against the Clippers, this is a spot we know we all love here against the Clippers. Yep. So you've got Prince and you got Josh Jackson there. I guess if you're not going the LeBron route, so you got two good options there. I don't mind that. All right. Yeah, I know. We probably should have did more of a song and dance for Josh Jackson, but I think everybody knows what the guy's capable of by now without Booker and Warren in the lineup. Let's see. Here's another guy I thought was pretty interesting. Joe Ingles. And the guy's been crushing it lately. Now, I know going up against Boston, not the greatest matchup, but a little game theory here for a sec. So we were talking about Donovan Mitchell earlier, who I do like. Now, he'll probably draw Jaylen Brown, who's become a much better defender this season than he was last year. I believe that's part of the system, but, whatever. That's neither here nor there. That means Ingles should probably draw Jason Tatum. Again, not somebody who I'm shying away from, but I think this has more to do with Joe Ingles and his production over the last, however many games. He's just been so damn consistent.
Yeah, he definitely has. His shot's been falling. I think with so much focus down low on Gobert and then all the focus on Donovan Mitchell, kind of leaves the guy like Ingles more open than he's probably has been accustomed to. So that's why you're seeing him play so much better. Because teams definitely are very, very clear in their game plan not to let Donovan Mitchell score 50 points on you, right? So which he can do. So that means a lot more opportunity for Ingles. So yeah, he's been having a phenomenal season. I believe they call him the math teacher.
Wow.
Because that's what he looks like.
Oh, yeah. His shot looks all sorts of cockeyed, but it goes in.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. All right. So, we had all these guys in great positions today, but I think a chalky option today would definitely be Evan Turner. The Portland Trailblazers, he'll be going up against Memphis, which we know that's a money position for small forwards going up against that team. Here's what I think is what's pretty interesting with Turner tonight. I have a feeling he'll take on C.J. McCollum's role, not necessarily as the shooting guard, but as the guy who runs that second unit.
Absolutely.
For the Blazers. So that part is very appealing right there. So I think you know, your small forward roster construction on FanDuel is either going to be maybe Prince and Jackson or LeBron and Turner. You agree?
You're going to see a lot more LeBron and Turner.
I think so.
Yeah. And I'm okay with it. I mean, it's a good matchup. So.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, on DraftKings, you can get real creative and even go with four of those guys because I know Prince is a shooting guard, small forward eligible. LeBron being a small forward, power forward as well. So there are certainly a lot of things that you can do to get creative if you want to get all four of those guys in there. All five mm-hmm. of those guys in there. Jeez. Oh, no, four. I can't count. No. Five. Yeah. Five guys. Five guys in there. So all very interesting. Anybody else at that position who you like tonight?
Liking? Yeah. maybe Mario Hezonja. With his matchup and his opportunity, I mean, he's probably going to get either Crab or Carroll, which I don't like. But he's been starting a little bit more at the two now since they've got so many guys out. So he might match up with Crab, which I like a little bit more than Damari, who's a really good defender. So maybe Hezonja. I talk about Carroll. I don't mind Carroll so much either. Crab can always get hot. He's certainly due for one of his go crazy games.
The leader in Nets franchise history for 3-point field goals made in a season. That's right.
He's a beast.
You heard it here.
This is saying this guy's name makes me angry because of how much he's disappointed me. But going up against Portland, Dylan Brooks at 3,700. He's been playing well over 30 minutes pretty much every game, which he should. He's a rookie. He should. And he's going to get a really soft matchup on the other end there. It's something to consider.
All right. Very cool. I felt like I got to mention, I like Harrison Barnes. I'm a Harrison Barnes fan going up against the Lakers. Wesley Matthews out, a couple of different injuries that these guys got tonight. I just think it puts him in a safe place. I don't necessarily like Barnes for the upside, but I like the fact that I don't have to worry about him more often than not. Like, he's usually going to be at that 30 range, and, you know, if I get more, great. If I don't, oh, shit. So, you know, like, he's not on the top of my list today because of these other great smash spots that a lot of these guys are in. Yeah. But, I don't know, late slate, you know, I definitely have some Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, same here.
Hey, gotta find a place for the guy, you know? I mean, he's pretty damn good.
That's right.
All right. Anybody else? Tatum.
Yeah, I looked at him. I don't hate it, but it's actually, I take that back. I do hate it because I mean, small forwards versus Utah, man. It's just not something we target. So
yeah. My whole thing was volume in this one. So, you know, with Morris already out and then Horford being questionable.
Sure.
The volume is what appealed to me. But you're absolutely right. God awful matchup.
Ugh. And he's 6,600 on FanDuel. I mean, there's probably no scenario where I would play Tatum over Evan Turner.
That is correct.
When you look at their prices. So.
Hey, for our late slate people, you know?
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
All right. Let's go to the power forward position here today. At the top of the chart, we have Come to Me. Where are you? Who are you? All right. No, not all right. Top of the power forwards, it's Ben Simmons. Brutal start in that last game against the Nuggets, but still pulled through at the end. He does have 40-plus in each of his last two against the Knicks. This is one of these situations where we talk a lot about, just in terms of the matchup, like, really, who you got that's going to guard Ben Simmons? Now, the Knicks do have Lance Thomas, but, I mean, really? Like, really? Really?
Nah, he ain't scaring nobody.
No, can't do it. Now, he's a serviceable guy, right? Might hold Simmons down for like 2-3 minutes, but over the course of the game, Simmons will get his. I think he hits 50 on both sites tonight, DraftKings and FanDuel. 9,300 on DraftKings, 9,800 on FanDuel, blah, 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 blah. again, I'm not worried about him at all against the Knicks. I don't think you are either, correct?
No, Simmons is pretty much going into all of my tournaments.
Super duper. All right, I'm going to go a different route here because I like the two guys in this game, but Aaron Gordon, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, both a great matchup against one another.
Yeah.
Now, you're not paying up for Ben Simmons in this. That's part of the appeal here, too, but to be honest, neither team's really playing much defense.
No, they're not, particularly at that position. Both of those guys have allowed a lot of points. I really, really like the spot Aaron Gordon is in. He's about five. He's on FanDuel. He's 500 more than Tobias is, but Tobias is a guy that can lose his mind as well. They both are. I'm good with both of those guys.
Yeah, certainly. Hollis Jefferson just been an absolutely different player since coming back into the starting lineup. You definitely got that appeal right there. Going against Aaron Gordon, I mean, Gordon's been one of the worst statistical defenders in the NBA since he's gotten here. Just never been a good defender at all. So, yeah, I like all that. You know, Orlando, one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA this season, so that certainly is appealing there with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Yeah.
I like all that. I like it. I dig it. You mentioned Tobias Harris against the Suns. I mean, you know, not a lot bad going on there. So I'm down with that one.
Hard not to love it.
No. Your boy, Julius Randle.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up next.
All right. What's the appeal there?
So he's a Dallas native.
Oh.
That's number one. Number two, you've got some questionables in that front court. Brooke, your boy.
Our boy.
Yeah. Kuzma, they'll both play, but...
you didn't seem too enthusiastic about Brolo being your boy.
I mean, let's see if he sticks around.
Wow.
I wouldn't hate if he did, but...
I'm especially a huge fan after owning him in that last game against Detroit.
I can see why. That was a hell of a game for him. So Dallas, I mean, look, if you look at the way they're probably going to end up, because it looks like Noel is probably going to play. I think Dirk was a little bit questionable, but Powell was going to probably play. I'm going to have to see who ends up playing and who ends up not playing. The unfortunate news is it's the last game. So we might not know all that information until after lock, but let's make no mistake. Dallas is a tanking team. Don't expect the best of their line of their roster to be thrown at Julius Randle. Lakers don't want to lose. They have no reason to, no incentive to lose.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, they don't have a draft pick of their own. The only draft pick they have is tied to Cleveland. So there's no benefit for them to tank. They're not going to get any better in the draft if they do. So they're going to have all of their good players play within a reason. So Randle should be able to dominate this team.
Bear, I know the situation all too well, man. All too well. I've been dealing with it for the last three seasons, so
yeah.
Not fun. All right, we got word that Kyle O'Quinn is going to be out tonight for the New York Knicks. So, in these situations, Luke Kornet's actually been getting a little bit of run here. At least 18 minutes in each of the last two games, or I'm sorry, each of the last three games. 20 plus in two of those. Last game against Charlotte, he plays 26 minutes. Now, production finally starting to come around, but I like this price on the guy. Now, we're going to have a ton of min-priced value options today, so I don't know that we need to go to Kornet, but I think it's an interesting GPP move. You're throwing a couple lineups around. Because I've seen a kid play, he's got some game. It's just, the big production night is coming soon, especially with the way that the Knicks are handling their roster, giving this guy all the minutes. So I don't know if it's tonight, but it could be.
It's a punt play, right? I mean, we just don't know. Just real quick news here: Kevin Love is out.
He gone.
Brandon Ingram is going to play. Alex Len is officially ruled out.
Wow. So,
yeah, that gets me really, really, really excited about this guy that you know.
Uh-huh.
You know who he is. You know who the sauce.
I love the initials. I love the initials.
I bet you do.
Everybody with AW is destined for greatness. That's why I'm here on the podcast.
I can't freaking wait for that.
All right, you mentioned one of those injuries, and it triggered something in my head.
Yes, so Kevin Love being out is going to be really, really good for Larry Nance Jr.
Indeed.
At a position that Charlotte just hasn't been doing very well at, although our ADVP shows it's really, really bad.
Yep.
He'll probably play a lot of center to match up with some Dwight. So rebounds, block shots, you know, all kinds of stuff for Nance. Very interesting.
Here's my thought, right? Since it's Dwight Howard on the other side of things, you think maybe Tristan Thompson gets the start tonight?
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, they'll certainly need his size to match up with Dwight, but I think you'll still see at least, you know, 28 minutes or so from Nance. So.
All right. Just looking at some other favorable matchups. You've got Dario Saric, Ersan Ilyasova of the 76ers going up against the Knicks. Both guys kind of right around that 5X level of production at their respective prices. Saric more along the lines of 6,000, so like a 30 is probably what you should expect from him. Ilyasova in that 4K range, so a 20 is what you could expect from him. Now, what I think is interesting there with Ilyasova, he had a really good game last time out against Denver. You know, another guy where they kind of needed his size there. But I don't mind Ilyasova really in this matchup against the Knicks.
No, not either.
It's certainly not the safest play, but he definitely has the upside there in this matchup.
Yeah, we don't need safety. Come on.
Yeah, right? Come on. It's late March. It's almost April, damn it.
Let's do it.
All right. And then also, too, I just wanted to mention, you know, hell, it's against the Hawks. So Taj Gibson and against those guys could very well be beneficial tonight.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. I got nothing else on the docket. We all good here?
No, man. I got to play. I got to talk about. I got to talk about. Jay Crowder versus the Boston Celtics.
Oh, man. You're good, Bear. You're good.
Man, I've been holding on to this one since last night, man.
Very nice.
Now, it was brought up to me that, well, yeah, it's not in Boston. Well, if it was in Boston, I think it'll be a little more emotional for him.
Right.
And I might actually shy away because tons and tons of emotions might not be a good thing.
Sure.
But here in his new home, you know, I think I like it a lot more. So I'm kind of on the fence, but he was his price here 47 on FanDuel with some of their bigs missing. Boston might go a little bit smaller, which bodes really well for Crowder. I like it a lot.
Very interesting. Very
I like it a lot. I think it's a super sneaky play because everybody's going to be looking at LeBron and, you know, Evan Turner and that kind of thing at the small forward. So, you know, he might go forgotten at the power forward here. So I think I like it.
Very interesting. Great insight there. All right, we're moving it to the center position. We're coming on down the home stretch here at the hour mark of the podcast. So we're making fantastic time here. Just looking at the centers tonight, you got some fantastic options. You always do. This is the NBA. Karl Anthony Towns up against an Atlanta team that sulks everywhere. Joel Embiid in a great matchup against the Knicks. Rudy Gobert against the Celtics. Your boy, Nikola Vucevic, against my Brooklyn Nets.
And then
you've also got Dwight Howard up against a Cleveland Cavs team that could be pretty undersized here if the right matchup comes his way.
Yeah.
All right. I know about the low price option. I don't know if we want to talk about him first, or we want to save the best for last.
Yeah, we'll save it for last. That's okay.
I like it. All right. So yeah, so with all these all the firepower there at the center position, anybody in particular stand out to you?
Yeah, I really like Vucevic in this spot. As you know, it's the Nets, so we always target them. Plus, on top of it, these are both really bad teams right now. Bad in terms of, you know, record. I think this game does stay really close. I like the pace of the game for him. He's one of those centers that I like in pace-up games. Usually I try to avoid those, but I like him in that kind of matchup. Let me see. It looks like Brooklyn's favored by only 3 points, so I know the game will stay close, meaning he'll stick around. He's going to be a focal point of the offense with him and Gordon, so... I actually like a lot of players from this game, so I'm good with both, both sides. So,
true story, I witnessed Nikola Vucevic almost ruin the Nets home opener this season, but that was without Aaron Gordon in the lineup. So, whatever. I think he was hitting 3-pointers like from everywhere that night. That's not Vooch. Anywho, yes, great matchup nonetheless. I don't mind it. I like a lot of Timberwolves tonight, mainly because, you know, again, you know they got to win. You know Tibbs is going to run these guys into the ground, especially after they've lost at home to Memphis. I just think this is going to be a straight militant approach from the Timberwolves tonight. So Karl-Anthony Towns should be involved in that. It is worth noting, of course. He is much cheaper on DraftKings at 9,500 as opposed to the 10.8 that he is on FanDuel. So many savings coming for days. Here's one that I didn't even mention at the beginning, but I feel like a little bit of a doofus. DeAndre Jordan. I don't care that he's on the back end of a back-to-back. Boban got his run last night, so he ain't coming out of the shed for like another 2 months. look, we know that Phoenix has been getting absolutely obliterated by opposing centers. So,
sure.
I really like DJ here. Go yeah. DJ, that's my DJ.
the only drawback is going to be if the game isn't really close. But like I said, that game's the Clippers just haven't been blowing out teams. They've really got nobody to body him up except for the guy that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, and you would say too. I mean, the Clippers played last night. I guess I don't want to say it brings them to the Suns level, but it at least pushes them in the Suns level direction.
Sure does. Yeah, absolutely does. I agree.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Got all those guys. Now, remember, Kylo Quinn is out tonight for the Knicks, so that's probably good news for Enes Kanter. He's a guy who still wants to, you know, keep playing. He already made it known that he wants to be here as a Knick for a while. The fans seem to love him. So this is a guy who's not, you know, the word tanking has not entered this man's skull ever. So I think he's going to be a nice option. I think he actually had a pretty nice game against Embiid recently, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, he did. And they, But as you, these are two, meaning Embiid and Kanter, guys that love to troll.
Yeah.
They talk a lot of smack. They go back and forth. So I think it's going to be highly entertaining, and they're going to get into it. And when these two guys get into it, man, it can be fun.
Indeed. All right. The moment you have all been waiting for, folks. The unleashing of the top value play of the not of the night, at the center position absolutely of the night.
Big sauce
Alan Williams, AW, as some of my friends call me,
A-Dub, nice.
But yes,
oh man, that's why are we so excited? I'll explain. So last season, Alan Williams had some massive, massive games. Alex Len not playing, to me, says they're ready to give him the opportunity to play.
Yep.
FanDuel, he's 3,800. Even if he gets 20 minutes, he's going to get more. But even if he gets 20 minutes, with Len not playing and Chandler sidelined for probably the rest of the season, they don't have a legitimate big body to put on DeAndre Jordan. He's going to be the only real center left. It's not going to be Dragan Bender. It's not going to be Marquise Chris. I mean, they can, but Chris will foul him out while he's stretching.
Oh, yeah. Very handsy guy.
Yeah, he sure is. So having said all that, I'm going to be playing Alan Williams in a lot of my tournaments right now.
Let's put a percentage on it. How much A-dub in your GPTs this evening?
Probably like 35%.
Wow. I thought it was going to be higher.
Well, I only say that because I'm really, really, really high on Vucevic. And I really like Gobert.
Okay.
So, you know, and obviously Dwight's also somewhat interesting as well. But I have enough interest in those other plays to where I'm not going to go like 90% exposure, but it's going to be saucy.
I want to quote our boy Lowe's here, not the hardware store, Brandon, but it's funny, I'm going to quote him, but I'm going to misquote him because I don't remember the exact numbers, but he did, I remember he said he read an article saying that Williams actually had played like 20 plus minutes in a few G League games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You heard that too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's
got to get back into shape, right?
Yeah, so that's a good sign. Like, you know, my, because I know you guys like Big Sauce. We've called him like five different nicknames so far, by the way. But I was weary of him just because it was his first game back in NBA action that season. You know, like, of course you're going to go through a couple bumps here and there. Right. But you brought up a fantastic point, especially with Len out, man. There's no big body to deal with DeAndre Jordan. Like, they're going to need him tonight. So I think at 24 minutes, I think he's certainly capable of putting up like 35 fantasy points. And you know what's hysterical? We've seen this a lot this NBA season. It's not the guy's first game back from the injury that he goes bananas. It's the second one. Like, I don't know how many times. Probably like over 30 we've seen it this season, but
yeah.
I'm certainly playing Williams on DraftKings. There's no doubt about that. He's 3,400 over there. But I tell you what, man, it's tough to rely on him as your only center option on FanDuel.
Right.
But I think this is the situation I would do it, especially with Len out and them playing the Clippers. They're going to need that big body for about 20 minutes of this game.
100%. That's why I said 35% and not higher because, you know, like you said, on FanDuel, you've only got one option. So another guy we should probably talk about.
All right.
Particularly without Horford, if he doesn't play, is going to be Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
He's also pretty cheap, 4,800 on FanDuel. The issue is going to be they really need the size to keep up with Gobert and even Favors. And so I think Monroe, when he gets 25 minutes, he hits value damn near every time. I definitely have some interest there. We got to find out to see if Horford ends up playing or not.
What a novel idea. An NBA team actually playing Greg Monroe. Who knew?
Right?
Who knew it was possible? Like, this is ridiculous. Monroe is a fantastic player. And it's funny because I think Monroe works better on a pace-up team because he's so good getting that rebound, pushing the ball up court. You know, he works well in that setting. But, I mean, you know, the guy's just showing that he can do it in any dimension. I would love to have Monroe on the Nets. I think he would be perfect for us. But, you know, I'll dream another day. But, yeah, you know what's interesting, too? I wanted to make this grand presentation. Did you see that on the ADVP chart that centers against the Jazz are they're not the color of a murder scene anymore?
I know.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Yeah. So, I dig that. Again, we're going to have to watch out for the news. But fantastic analysis today, Mr. Bear. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back, too. I went on a notes rampage last night because we've got MLB starting up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I got in the zone with writing down like splits and BABIPs and OBIPs and, you know, all sorts of things. But I believe me and Keith are going to have a podcast for the opening day out there for all you MLB seam heads out there. You're on NBA pod duty tomorrow, correct?
I think so.
All right. I'm not doing the NBA pod tomorrow, so this could be, this might be a strict bear segment in this one. So people, or I think Ben's doing NBA too, but
yeah, we'll do that. We'll figure something out.
All right, sounds good. Go ahead.
Are there any other centers you like?
No, I'm good.
All right, I think we should probably give honorable mention to two of them.
Okay.
Brook Lopez,
what's up, bro?
Dallas, because he, every time I don't play him, he kills me. Every time. Every single time.
Yep.
And then going up against the defenseless Karl-Anthony Towns, you got to look at Dwayne Dedman as well.
Yes, very good point. Very good point there. I like that. Especially, too, John Collins is going to draw Taj Gibson, going to struggle big time in that situation.
Yeah.
So, more to Dedman.
And this might be the Noel game, too, where he gets his minutes. So, again, a lot. That's why I only have Sauce at 35%, because there are a lot of ways you can go at center.
Jeez, yeah, I'm looking. I'm like, all right, whatever, Towns, Howard, Jordan. Yeah, now, good call on Noel, because I completely forgot about him. You know, what the Mavs have been doing with sitting him one part of, you know, the two-game sets or whatever. It's his turn tonight, so.
Yeah.
The one thing, he's not cheap like he was on DraftKings. Well, I shouldn't say cheap. He's not free like he was. He's 4,700 over there, which is still a pretty good price. But, you know, they finally smartened up and didn't make him like $3,800.
We took advantage when they did.
Indeed, indeed. It was glorious. All right, that'll do it for me. Any closing thoughts for tonight's slate?
Lots and lots of value, man. So when you're playing your cash games, go with them. But when you do enter some tournaments, the super, super chalky guys, you know, consider not playing. And consider that if they do well, your cash lineups will hit. And if they don't do well, you'll be collecting some serious dough on the tournament side. So that's all I have.
All right. Sounds good. And by the way, with Noel, on both of the sites, they show him with the O next to his name. Disregard that shit. It doesn't mean anything. All right. Yeah. Me, Bear, rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Later.
Peace out. All right, my man. We done.
I'll talk to you.
All right. Later.
Bye.